All right, our scripture text this morning is taken from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 4, which reads, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Now, the idea of spiritual warfare in the analogy of an enlisted soldier is a common Pauline motif. We've preached extensively and taught extensively on the armor of God passage in Ephesians chapter 6, and we talk about how to take up the sword of the Spirit. And we talk about how we are to be engaged in the spiritual battle, which is not with men, but with powers and principalities in spiritual realm. Now, the verse that precedes our text reads, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And so we see here that believers then are enlisted into the spiritual army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we join that army. We are enlisted into that army without fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This morning, we shall consider the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, the principles of enlistment in the army. Second, the positive expectations of the army general. And henceforth, I'm going to use the phrase army general, commander of the army of the Lord, and Jesus Christ as one. Third, the prohibition set by the army general. And finally, an urgent plea for undecideds to get enlisted in the army of Jesus Christ and to do it straightway. The principles of enlistment. Now, warfare is an expensive undertaking. The United States spends billions and billions of dollars every year preparing for war just in case it comes. But spiritually, guess what, friends? There's no just in case about it. It's coming, and we're engaged in it. Now, warfare needs to be financed. In earthly warfare, dollars and cents, silver and gold are sufficient to finance the battle. And if we have enough of it, we can have a deterrent against the attack of the enemy. But silver and gold will do you no good in this war. Neither money nor good deeds will avail anything with regard to the things of the Spirit. But there is good news. The battle for your soul has been financed. It has been paid for in full. We don't have to tax the people, tax the church, because the battle for your soul has been financed with the precious blood of Christ. The paycheck for the Christian soldier is far better than enlistment in the world's army. See, the world's got an army too, And it's led by a certain general, namely General Sin. You know him. You've been fighting the battle against him for days, for months, for years, some of you for decades. The wages of sin, the wages of general sin is death. But the wages given by those who have enlisted in the Lord's army are eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, and all of those things that come with it. Peace, hope, direction in life, wisdom, soundness of mind, truth, and an assurance of salvation, that when the battle's over, that the battle has already been won. Our general, the commander of our army, is doing double duty. Not only is he here on earth fighting our battles for us and fighting them with us, but he's also in heaven preparing the place of rest when the battle has been finished. The second principle of enlistment is this: you must be numbered among the army of Jesus Christ. Among the army of Jesus Christ. In Moses' day, a census was taken to determine who was in the battle. And there were certain qualifications to go out for battle. You had to be an Israelite. You had to be a male. You had to be 20 years or older. And you could not be one who has just recently married or fall into certain other categories which would disqualify you from service in the army. And when they were done, you know what they did? They numbered all the people. And they came out with 603,550. And Moses knew every single name. But more importantly, the general of God's army knew every single name as well. He knew every one of those soldiers by name. And so in God's army, we don't have so many stipulations. In fact, there's only one: believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And God knows who you are. And God knows the number. But according to the book of Revelation chapter 7, there's not only 144,000, but there is an innumerable company of saints praising the Lord before the throne of God, one which no one could number. And you know how many that is? I can tell you what it is more than, because there are 200 million numbered in the book of Revelation. And the number that nobody can number has got to be more than that, because if God can number the 200 million, there's more than that in the Lord's army. So you know what? There's room for you. Whether you be Jew or Gentile, male or female, young or old, whether you're in good health or in poor health, whether you're rich or poor by the world's standards, you may enlist in the Lord's army. The third principle of enlistment is that you must count the cost. Are you willing to give up your present sins and start living by the book? The Bible is God's army manual. You know, when you enlist in the United States Army or whatever branch you enlist in, you get some sort of books, right? Guidelines, that, you know, you get some various things that you have to follow. Well, when you enlist in God's army, At least if you come to this church, you get one of these. If you don't come in with one of these, you go out and buy one of these, and we give you one of these if you can't afford one. And what this is God's Army Manual. It is truth to live by. Well, there's bad news. It can't be followed perfectly. Many have tried and failed. But there's also good news. That if you don't follow every stipulation in this book, God has made provision to pay the penalty for you. He's not going to throw you out of the army. I know a man who enlisted in God's army without true belief in God through Jesus Christ. That man is still in prison and ever shall be unless he repents. But if you've met the condition of enlistment in the army, the belief condition, and God knows you, God's got you among His number. He knows whether you're the real deal or not. If you're the real deal, if you believed in Jesus Christ in faith, you shall surely be acquitted. Now, no human general would do this, but the commander of the Lord's army will defend you, acquit you, and personally stay with you for as long as you need him to, that you might know love and forgiveness. A final application under this subpoint. The soldier goes where he or she is deployed. If you join the U.S. Army, the United States government owns you. They say go here, and you go. And they say go there, and you go. Just like that centurion of old. If you are a Christian soldier, the Lord Jesus Christ says go here, and you go. He says go there, and you go. And don't think that He doesn't expect you to do it. You wouldn't make too many excuses in the United States Army for not going where you're supposed to go. Why then do you make so many excuses and not go where you're supposed to go as a Christian? Are you willing to endure hardship for Christ? Peter was. You know what Jesus said to him? The end of his ministry? Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. You know what, Peter? Years ago, you did whatever it was you wanted to do. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Peter ultimately went to his death 3 decades later for the cause of Christ with his hands stretched out, just like our Lord. But according to tradition, upside down. Positive expectations of the Army General to take up arms. Every last Christian soldier is needed in this battle. There were 318 servants in Abraham's house, and every one of them was needed if his family was going to be rescued. We are trained servants in the Lord's army, and we are expected to engage in the Lord's battle, even though it was ultimately God's to win. Take up courage with confidence because of the promises and the hope promised by the Word of God. What do the Scriptures say? Be strong and of good courage. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Finally, positive expectations of the Army General. You are expected to mature as a Christian soldier. The Lord is in need of skillful warriors who are disciplined and wise. He's got enough people standing on the sidelines, handing out pieces of paper. He wants you to be in the battle. Many of you have come along quite well. But if any of you see spiritual training exercises, if any of you think you've arrived, you're not going to be effective anymore. You're either going forward in the battle, or you're going backward and you're sitting it out. One or the other. Which one are you doing? Have you started in the Lord's battle? Have you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved? If so, you've done well. Are you moving forward? Are you praying every day? Are you reading your Bible? Are you studying your Bible? We go out of our way here to make sure that you have no excuse not to grow in this church. We have Bible study on Friday night. We get together, we pray. We offer independent Bible study courses for those who can't come on Friday night. For those who are advanced in the faith, we have advanced courses. For those who need discipleship, somebody will come alongside you. No excuses. None. Prohibition set by the Army General. First, there is a prohibition against carelessness and laxity in the faith. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. The second prohibition is against setting worldly priorities before God's priorities. I heard this once, and it stuck with me. And this is in relation to prioritizing the worship of God. We will never be a good witness if we are doing something else on Sunday morning for an hour. If we can't at least do that, our witness is shot. Wherever you are on Sunday morning, whatever you're doing, that's what you are prioritizing, and that's your church. Now, I don't mean that there are not going to be certain exceptions to this. You're sick, you're infirm, you know, you have a hard time, you just had an operation. I get it. But I'm talking in general terms. We are commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. When the soldier shows up for battle, it is evident to all, and he cries, present at roll call. So it shall be for Christian soldiers. Too many Christians are like those addressed in our text, too entangled in worldly affairs to make a difference. They're too busy with worldly junk. Spiritual things have not become a priority to them. And in whatever way that speaks to you, in whatever way that speaks to me, I don't preach to you and I don't preach to myself first, friends. Let us do whatever it is that we need to do before the Lord. Set it right. The third prohibition set by the Army General is abuse of privilege due to covetousness. Be content with your wages, which is eternal life. Joy inside for having been reconciled with God. The church is never to be a means a financial, political, civic, or professional gain. Rather, we're all here for one reason only, to advance God's cause. Take a little bit more of that territory from General Sin, the devil's commander-in-chief, right? Today, I set before you an urgent plea. Quoting from Manners and Customs of Bible Times by Ralph Gower, a military campaign commenced with an act of worship and a response from members of the armed forces. That's us, spiritually speaking. Prophets told the army commander exactly what he was to do and the outcome of the battle, and they gave advice when it was needed. The war cry was a spiritual one. Repent and believe in the gospel. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And finally, take heed to the Pauline warning. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Is what you do with your time today going to be pleasing to God? Be honest. Be honest before the Lord. And start asking yourself that question each and every morning. And you're going to see some things are going to change. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this earnest warning, Lord. Thank you for the ability that you give us to be able to get out here. And Lord, I thank you for each and every one here this morning who has prioritized the time to come out and worship you. Lord, that their faithfulness and diligence in that will be richly rewarded. And that you'll give each and every one of us here the strength, the wisdom, and the discernment to know what that next step is. Lord, if there be any here this morning, that they might heed your promises, that all who come to you through Christ will in no wise be cast out, and that your grace is sufficient for their salvation. Lord, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.